Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep,
where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, guys.
Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
The Locked On Bulls podcast.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Today's episode is sponsored by Built Bar, Built Bar, BuiltBar.com. $10 off with the promo code Locked On. They're running a special this week, an additional $5 off any box of bars, including our promo Locked On for an additional $10 off. So that's $15 total at BuiltBar.com. Matt, welcome back from the long weekend. Hopefully you get a chance to rest, relax the best you can while we're still kind of, I don't know, this is weird, man. We're kind of like in a limbo quarantine at this point. I saw a lot of people out in the city yesterday and like over the weekend having a good time. You know, it just seems like almost our society is ready to go back to normal. Well, everybody's ready to go back to normal, but I mean, there is a lot more people out than I expected this weekend. That's all I will say. But hopefully you enjoyed your weekend outside of some of the crazy storms and rain we got here in Chicago. But how are you and how you doing?
Yeah, what's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, I did manage to have myself a nice weekend. Did a little bit of social distancing, outdoor grilling in a backyard with just a couple of friends. So, yeah, obviously, when the good weather hits, Chicagoans have a tough time staying inside, as we usually hibernate in the winter, and then we've been hibernating an extra 2 months on top of that because of COVID-19. So you're right. You know, I live in the Wicker Park area in the city, and I've certainly seen a lot of people out and about over the past weekend. But, you know, for the most part, everybody's still doing a good job of wearing masks if you have to be outside, and keeping your distance from people around you. And, you know, we'll see what comes next, because, you know, we're a few days away from the end of May, which is, you know, theoretically that next, you know, question mark point as far as the stay at home order from Governor Pritzker and you know, him working alongside Mayor Lori Lightfoot to see what happens next, and their slow, you know, phase one or whatever of the reopening plan for the city and the state. And at the same time, it sounds like this week we might finally get some big news in the sports world as far as those reopening plans. I know, I'm not sure if you saw, Jordan, but you know, we're recording here early afternoon Tuesday. In just a couple hours, Gary Bettman is going to hold a press conference talking about the decision and the plans for restarting the NHL season. And it sounds like we might be getting similar announcements or similar updates for the NBA and Major League Baseball later this week too. So hopefully there's some good news on the horizon.
You did see that about the NHL, and, you know, as a Blackhawks fan who is pretty much thinking that the Blackhawks weren't going to have any way of being a playoff team. I mean, there's scenarios where they've got the Blackhawks being a play-in team and might have a little bit of playoff hockey. And I mean, the scenarios for the NBA to come back and how they're going to restructure this season aren't fully in place yet. So there could very well be a scenario where the Bulls have to come back and play either a play-in game or play five games before the season is officially over. And there's a lot of issues with doing that with teams that aren't really necessarily have any shot at the NBA finals this year or even a run in the playoffs. So I think there's a lot of plans out there. I like a lot of the structures and the ideas of it, but you know, it's going to come back to the players and ultimately what the players are going to want to be able to do and what they're willing to risk, especially those players that are on teams that are not necessarily contending. So what's I guess what I would ask you, Matt, is let's start with the most likely outcome in terms of timeline, in terms of game style, and where they're going to play. It seems like the definitive location is going to be Walt Disney World, correct?
Yes, it sounds like that decision at least has been made, that for a while maybe Vegas was in the running, or maybe even the city of Los Angeles and the Staples Center, I know, was potentially a distant third as far as potential ideas. But at this point, it sounds like they have settled on the idea that if this is going to happen in any wide variety of instances and formats, it will be at the ESPN complex at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, the Wild World of Sports is a very cool place, Matt. I don't know if you've ever been there, but they've got, I believe, 16 different full-size courts on top of a baseball stadium. The Atlanta Braves used to actually run their spring training out of the Wild World of Sports. But the only thing that I'm confused about is I thought Walt Disney World, and maybe this is just Disneyland, but I thought Walt Disney World was getting set to reopen to the public in smaller capacities. And so that's where I get kind of confused. I'm like, if you're going to quarantine 16 or 24 NBA teams to try and play and restart this league, how the hell are you going to reopen all of those parks? So that's an obstacle I think that they're gonna have to leap with Disney, and I'm sure the NBA or whoever else is going to pay Disney if they have to close the park for a continued period of time while the NBA plays. That certainly will play out, but I'm just thinking of it from a standpoint of competitiveness, the overall feel, the overall energy, and how guys are going to get back, and what basketball is going to look like after almost 3 months off for a lot of these guys. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about the quality of the games that are going to be played once we do resume?
Yeah, I think that's really a fair question. And I think that that's one of the points of contention that some teams have right now, especially some teams in maybe some larger market cities, some of whom, as you and I were just discussing, like, you know, Chicago, Illinois still has a stay-at-home ordinance right now, as do some other large cities, you know, that are host NBA teams. Because right now, it sounds like there's a plan where, starting maybe as early as the beginning of June, teams would be instructed to recall their players back to their host cities from wherever they are right now. Casey Johnson on 670 The Score earlier this morning said that, to his knowledge right now, there are only four Bulls players on their roster that are actually in and around Chicago right now. Everybody else has gone to their respective homes. You know, Zach's on the West Coast. Kobe White's down in Carolina. Like, people are everywhere. So that would be the step one, is bringing teams players back to that team's city to do like a two-week training camp to get people's bodies back in shape and start things up again. And then teams that were participating would go down to Florida and do quarantined there another one or two additional weeks of training camp. And some teams I've heard are having an issue with that idea, to say, well, why don't we just go straight down to Florida and do the training camp stuff there? Because it seems like you're having an unnecessary additional step of travel and exposure to get players from wherever they are back to their team's city and their team's facility. So that's one factor that they have to figure out as far as how they want to approach starting things up again, because obviously these players will have to have some semblance of a training camp to get themselves back in to playing shape. Because remember, some players, you know, especially those who are the superstar caliber players with superstar contracts and all of the, you know, accommodations that go along with that, have, you know, courts, or at least a half-size court at home and a home workout facility, a workout gym. Plenty of the NBA players don't have those and haven't had access to a gym and haven't had access to a court. So there's that issue as well.
You know, we were talking about special cases like Zach LaVine having the ability to be able to practice and still stay in shape at home. But I mean, those are certain circumstances. We were laughing at the beginning of quarantine when Joakim Noah was trying to rent out his entire facility at his apartment complex and turn that into a home gym. So you're totally right. I think getting guys back into shape, and, you know, it's a whole lot different practicing and working out by yourself than it is actually getting into a scrimmage and playing 5-on-5 and actually getting back into game mode, which is kind of bizarre, because you see a lot of these star players maybe start the season off a little bit cooler than normal in October, November, December. And I'm wondering if we're likely to see that again here, and if it's going to have a huge effect on how the playoffs play out. So if I'm guys, let's take the Bulls, for example. If I'm guys like Thomas Satoransky or Thaddeus Young or even some of these younger guys that are still dealing with maybe some minor injuries, I wouldn't want to come back or rush anything. And then especially if guys have already started kind of their quote-unquote off-season plans, and this has no effect on them whether or not they're going to be in a playoff or of anything significant. So if I'm any of those players, I am quite hesitant to return if I am not absolutely in the playoffs and going to be there for an extended period of time.
And you saw that with some comments from one of the superstars of the league, Damian Lillard, that made the rounds on Twitter earlier this morning, talking about if Portland were being brought back to play some regular season games, but the Blazers realistically were not going to be playoff bound in whatever scenario they landed upon, that he would be with his team, but he would be on the bench saying he wouldn't want to play. And I completely understand that point of view. And I think, you know, Dame was brave enough to say it. I'm guessing a lot of his colleagues in the NBA and the Players Association feel exactly the same way. Like, why risk injury? Why put yourself through that to play meaningless games? Which, if you're not talking about a play-in tournament of any kind, if you're not talking about like a group stage, you know, part one of a playoff format that would expand it from 16 teams to 20 teams, as we're hearing is a potential idea right now, then what's the incentive? What is the incentive and what's the risk versus reward situation? And for the Bulls, a team that is seventh in the draft lottery standings right now, nowhere near being like a team that even if they expanded things would be on that picture of bubble playoff teams. Why come back and play 6, 8, 10 meaningless regular season games? Because even the competitiveness of some of these players, especially young ones, maybe players that feel like they have something to prove coming into this offseason, regardless of, you know, maybe their contract situation is weighing on their minds. I mean, why risk it? And then as the team's perspective, the Bulls, if they were to be brought back with a new regime and a lame duck head coach, would probably want to lose every one of those meaningless regular season games for the sake of their draft lottery standings.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at like some of these expanded playoff implications and everything that goes into it. The GM's getting an opportunity to kind of vote on that. And, you know, obviously fans and the management side of it would want the Bulls to lose the games. But I'm just curious, too, how the players would feel, especially if you're on this Bulls team and it's like, fuck, man, I got to go and play in a playoffs plus format and we may only play 5 games. And God forbid, knock on wood, if somebody gets hurt. Imagine one of the Bulls players getting hurt in a meaningless game like this, where it doesn't really mean a whole hell of a lot to this Bulls team, and it doesn't mean a lot to any of the guys. Like, none of the guys are chasing individual records too for this season either, and it's not like guys, people are going to really remember this season anyway. This is a clusterfuck of a season that we look back a decade from now, a lot of people are going to be like, yeah, they were the champion. Think about it how we think about the lockout year, Matt. We kind of forget that was a lockout year and it was a shortened season when Derrick Rose won his MVP. But I guess we don't really talk about that a whole ton. But still, it seems like there is still kind of an asterisk on that season. Although this is a completely different scenario. But if it was up to you, Matt, in the way that everything's being laid out, what do you feel like is the most realistic expectation for the season coming back? And what do you think is most ideal in terms of the Bulls scenario?
Well, most ideal for the Bulls is that lottery-bound teams, their season is over. Especially with the Bulls' special circumstance right now of kind of already starting a regime overhaul and knowing that, and we heard Joe Cali say it on 670 The Score again this morning, it's not just, it's not a question of if, it's just when, and it's a matter of tact when it comes to firing Jim Boylan. They will fire Jim Boylan and pick somebody else. It's just a matter of getting some kind of resolution on this season before that happens. So that being the case, there is really no benefit to the Bulls coming back and playing meaningless regular season games. You're risking injury to players who either you want to keep or want to keep healthy because you plan on trading them. So that's the situation for the Bulls. That's best case scenario. Teams that are not currently in the playoff position are not in the resumption of the season. They go straight to the playoffs. And that's, for the league, the most realistic and I think the most, you know, the most lacking in potential problems resumption strategy. Just, okay, yeah, it's going to be kind of a sucky thing for a couple of those Western Conference teams on the bubble, but you take the eight teams in the East, you take the eight teams in the West, and you do your playoffs. Just do it like that. Now, there are more interesting things that I would like to see them try to do, but that's going to be the easiest solution. I would love to see the play-in, a group stage, and Kevin O'Connor for the Ringer laid out in detail how that might work and what they're considering, which would be like similar to Olympics or the World Cup in soccer, a group stage to start things off for the NBA playoffs, where they would expand it from 16 teams to 20 teams, and have five tiers of teams in four groups. So basically, based on the NBA standings, you have four tier one teams and then second, third, fourth, and fifth tier teams based on their records, and you randomize it. And then you have, you know, one tier one team all the way through one tier five team in four different groups. Each team would play the other teams in that group two times. So you're getting eight games in each group from the group stage, and then the top two teams in each group advance, and then from there, it's a standard best of seven series to finish out the playoffs with the eight teams that make it out of that group stage. So with that scenario, essentially what you're doing is you're adding Zion Williamson and the Pelicans, and you're adding Mr. Awesome Playoff Shots, Dame Time Lillard, and the Blazers into that back end of playoff-bound teams in a group stage that would mix things up and present some pretty interesting matchups, and you would eliminate the boring one versus eights and some of those first round series that nobody really cares about because they are kind of foregone conclusion kind of series. Last year in the first round, we got 1-7 game, we got 1-6 game and a couple of sweeps, and it was largely an uninteresting first round. If they were to do the group stage stuff, I would love to see that happen. It's just a matter of whether or not teams can agree to that. But of course, you would see why the league would want to add players like Zion and Dame to a scenario where they're resuming the season.
It's a good point. There's another factor, too, that I don't think a lot of fans maybe on the surface are thinking about, but definitely plays a huge factor into all of this and why some of these teams that have, frankly, no business coming back and playing the rest of the season, but there might be cause to push them to do that, even though if it is only five or maybe eight games. I want to tell you about that in a second, but first, Built Bar. Built Bar has been a sponsor of the Locked On Podcast Network and Locked On Bulls all month long, and they just have signed on for the rest of the year with us. They will be here for the long term. I want to thank Built Bar for all the things that they've done for us in the month of May and now continued through the rest of the year. You guys can get $10 off your first order at builtbar.com, builtbar.com, using the promo code Locked On. This week and this week only, there's an additional $5 off for every box of bars you buy. That includes the $10 off you'll get using the promo code Locked On. So a total of $15 off just to try Built Bar, or maybe you already fell in love with the Built Bar bars that you've tried before. You can restock and reorder those to keep your energy alive. Built Bar is also releasing four new flavors this week. That's peanut butter, banana peanut butter, or pineapple upside down cake, coconut pecan pie, and blueberry lemon. So additionally, with the 16 flavors that were already available, four new ones to bring you to a total of 20. 20 different flavors to choose from. I know there's going to be something for every single person out there that they'll like. Like I said, I still think the game changer is the peanut butter and chocolate one. Every single one of these bars is layered in 100% chocolate. Low calorie, low carbs, high in protein, so it'll keep your energy up and alive while not adding too many pounds as well. So go to builtbar.com, builtbar.com, to try Built Bar using our promo code Locked On for $10 off, and then additional $5 off if you order this week. So what are you waiting for? Try it right now. Locked On promo code at builtbar.com. So Matt, I think the money thing is one that we tend to overlook a little bit just because we're fans and we think about it in terms of the games and the wins and losses and, you know, how are we going to get the season out? But a lot of us asking, you know, why the hell would they bring back any of these teams that have no business being in the playoffs? And I think we all tend to forget the TV contracts that every single one of these teams are signed to. You still got agreements in place and you still got a lot of money left on the table too for the last, what was it, 14 games I think the Bulls had to play still. There's still a lot of money on the table for a lot of these teams under contract. And how do you resupplement back that money that the Bulls may or may not have already earned, or any other team around the league, and suffice with the advertisers or even with your TV contract for those 14 games? Because I can guarantee you right now, the way that the MLB is having this problem is the NBA is going to have a problem with how are guys going to get paid for the rest of this season? Are the guys just going to be able to, are they willing to take a reduced salary at this point? And if the guys that don't want to return to finish out the season, are they just going to be eliminated completely? I think Sham said it was around 20% of this year's salary money would be the remainder of the season. So if they don't play that, players would be basically forfeiting that. So I can't see some of these players, especially the guys on big contracts. Think about just like Otto Porter, for example. 20% of a $26 million contract is him losing out on $5 million and the opportunity to come back and maybe showcase a little bit for 5 or 8 games. So I think there's a lot of financial implications that are going into this, too, that maybe we're overlooking on the surface.
Well, I think, you know, when it comes to financial implications, obviously you feel bad for the players who are, you know, being asked to take these pay cuts because the league is just hemorrhaging money right now. They're not making money on you know, televising these games, and the teams are not making money on you know, bodies through the turnstiles and hosting these games. Obviously so much of every decision that we're going to hopefully get in the coming week or two is all about money. It's always all about the dollars. Obviously, you know, the NBA has, like pretty much every league here in the U.S., been hit very hard by this pandemic. And that's why, you know, a week ago, you and I were talking on this podcast about the potential that the Bulls might not be done, and that there was this incentive, you know, by the teams in the league to get to that quota of, I think it's 72 games or maybe 74, to eliminate this clause in the contract that would, you know, allow the networks to get some of their money back. So if that's the case, then you have to deal with this really tricky situation where players, of course, want to get paid the full salaries that they are due. And you know, the league and the teams in the league are also worried about recouping as much of their losses as they can. Players are worried about risk versus reward of playing in said games, especially as the Bulls are in this scenario. What is there to gain if we are only coming back for meaningless regular season games and not going to the playoffs? And then that's the other interesting detail. And they were touching on this in a recent Brian Windhorst Hoop Collective chat with him and Bobby Marks, is that the players' salaries are just for regular season games. Of course, there are incentives written into a lot of players' contracts, most players' contracts, about playoff performance. And then, of course, there's like that playoff pool of money that we know about, which, you know, famously a few years back during his short stint with the Dallas Mavericks, Rajon Rondo was basically voted out of getting any piece of the playoff money because his Dallas teammates hated him so much. But so there are other elements to players making money in the playoffs. But when it comes to their actual salaries for the seasons, that's all just based on regular season games.
Wait. I don't remember that Rondo story.
You don't remember that?
No. He got gypped out of playoff money because Dallas teammates hated him?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, because, you know, my fucking co-outsider, John Sabine, is a diehard Mavs fan in addition to his Bulls fandom. I hear about that all the time. He hates Rondo, and he always brings that up. In that, you know, the ill-fated Rondo stint with the Mavs, you know, like, he got benched, he got in a fight with Carlisle, all these various things, and then the players essentially got to vote and voted Rondo out of getting his cut of the playoff money.
That's too funny. I'm not surprised, but I did not remember that. So he's had, I don't know, he's had a little bit of trouble everywhere he's gone.
I mean, you know who else would have voted Rondo out of any playoff money? Probably like Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler.
Probably Jim Boylan too. He's the one, victim of the towel throw.
They won the first two games with Rondo in there, and then he got hurt, and it all went to shit.
That reminds me of that weird playoff post-game press conference with Fred Hoiberg. Remember when he was complaining about Isaiah Thomas carrying the ball? And that was like the one time Fred Hoiberg blew up and everybody just bagged him. I was like, what the fuck are you complaining about, Fred Hoiberg? Everybody in the NBA has been doing that for like the last 30 years. You're gonna complain about that now? I thought that was funny, man. That just reminded me of that. But you're right. There's a lot of playoff implications and playoff money to factor in as well. So for me, I feel like if it does come down to they decide a playoffs plus format where the Bulls are ultimately included in this, I mean, I'm not going to not be somewhat excited. I mean, we're still going to get basketball back and we're going to get to say that we're going to get Bulls playoff basketball back is just quite funny to me, man. I mean, think about the complete reset of where we were at rock bottom. And I mean, even if the Bulls somehow pull out a win or two in that, I mean, that's icing on the cake for a season that I've already pretty much chalked up to being completely over. So if I get entertained for a week or, you know, a couple days and the Bulls end up pulling off a win in an extended playoff format, I'm not going to be terribly angry.
Are you kidding me? All right. No.
If that doesn't have an effect
on
the lottery.
In no way do I want the Bulls at a potential playoff expansion of any kind.
Even if that doesn't have any effect. Even if that doesn't have any effect on the lottery, if the Bulls say they say, okay, we're going to do this extended playoff format, but we're going to use the lottery as it was the day that the pandemic hit or that we had to close down the league as of March 12th. Everything else, all these teams added to this playoff plus format are just to start this for 1 year. Yeah, it's not going to affect your lottery position or anything like that. What would you say then?
No, because, okay, Jim Boylan's still going to be your coach if that's the situation. They're not going to fire him for some midseason continuation and an expanded playoff, you know, bracket. So we're getting playoffs Jim Boylan for that. And these are all nationally televised games because they're NBA playoff games in this weird new format where they're desperate to put live games on air and they're going to be doing multiple games a day, like several days in a row. So guess what? The Bulls likely to lose and lose quickly in any kind of playoff scenario. And Jim Boylan is going to be out there stomping and clapping and running his mouth about God knows what.
Seen that movie?
Even though we have recently gotten this new step on this new path with AK and Eversley, and we're trying to reestablish some modicum of respect and face value across the league after being a national embarrassment as the all-star host city, watching a Bulls playoffs led by Jim Boylan train wreck on national television will immediately be a, you know, one step forward, two steps backward kind of situation. So no, I would not be looking forward to that.
You know, I don't stop coaching the team because we're down. I don't do that. I've never done that. I never will.
I've never yanked guys.
Can you imagine? I'm just playing out the scenario in my head where the Bulls are up like, or the Bulls are down 25 in a meaningless playoff game and there's a minute 16 left and Jim Boylan's just out there calling timeouts.
Well, he's got to call a timeout to set up a play for Adam McCokin, man.
That's the next step.
That's the next step.
It would make me laugh because I knew he had no chance to be here next season, and I know it would just make people go absolutely apeshit, but oh man, I can't say that I would not at least be a little bit entertained by the fact that the Bulls having to come back and we get Jim Boylan playoffs. Jim Boylan. It just would, I don't know, it would make me happy, and God, the only backfire to that is if he ended up winning a game or two, and then all of a sudden Karnisovas is like, hey, you know what? Maybe we'll take let's take a look at him for one more season, get Reinsdorf in his ear a little bit more, and that could be a disaster. But I don't know.
Not a chance that happened. Not a chance. Jordan, before we give our final thoughts for today, I wanted to tell our listeners about one of my new favorite life hacks. It's hard to find time to sit down and read and learn more. When you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. It's an incredible new app solving this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people are well known for reading lots of books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you, like me, like our listeners, who want to get the main points of a book quickly so they can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book on your commute, or if you're not commuting right now because of the pandemic, you can do it on your lunch break, while you're taking a work from home break, or while you're working out. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it's a massive and growing library. From self-help, business, health to history books, Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read but never had time to. Jordan, I know you and I read a lot of sports coverage for our jobs, and it's columns, it's books, it's listening to podcasts to keep up. And sometimes I feel like I'm just dumb in every other element of my world knowledge. And that's why Blinkist has been really cool to use, because it's a nice way to take a break from ingesting all of the sports media content that we ingest and do a little bit of, some building up of your knowledge and your, you know, comprehension of other topics to make sure that you're not only talking about sports back, you know, when we're finally allowed to go to parties again. Yeah, talking about sports is fun for a while, but you got to be cultured. You got to know other things to talk about. And here's the best part. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our Locked On Bulls audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA, try it free for 7 days, and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA.
Final thoughts here, Matt, and I mean, I guess we can get into more of this tomorrow, but I feel like it's pressing to kind of touch on today. We heard Lauri Markkanen; he was on a podcast for damn near 2 hours. Obviously, none of it in English, so couldn't play any of it here today, but we did get some snippets that were translated from Finnish to English, which I thought were pretty interesting. The one that I saw most clearly was, and I don't know, again, this could be the translation again, but just the way I read it was kind of a shot at Jim Boylan, where he was talking about how he was getting 80 touches a game, and all of a sudden, this new season, it started, and he ended up with only 40 touches a game, and Jim Boylan was kind of pressing him about how he should take advantage more of the boards and be the guy that's going to press on fast breaks, and that's how you'll make up for the lost touches that you weren't getting originally. It seemed to piss him off a little bit just from that comment, those comments that I read, and I don't blame him necessarily, but it sounds like for the most part he still loves Chicago and wants to re-sign here. I just don't think he likes the idea of Jim Boylan being his head coach.
No, absolutely not. I think So based on these rough translations from Lowry's appearance on this Finnish podcast, it's kind of a reiteration of some things we had already heard earlier in the season, that essentially, you know, Lowry wasn't thrilled with his role in the offense, and that, he wanted to be able to prove that he was more than just a spot up shooter, and that this offense basically had turned him into just a spot up shooter. And the whole issue of the rebounding thing. Because like we had heard that prior to hearing this interview with Lowry, and then even prior to some of his struggles throughout the season, like at the beginning of the season, we heard from multiple reports that Jim Boylan had challenged Lowry to be a better defensive rebounder and to have that be an element to his offensive game. grab the board and get out in transition and use your ability as a 7-footer who can dribble to get out and score and create opportunities for yourself, for your teammates in transition. But Lowry made it sound like, dude, okay, I'm not grabbing 80 boards a game. You know, I'm not grabbing 18 rebounds a game. It's not realistic to make that an emphasis for Lowry to get his touches. Because while I do agree that it would be nice for Lowry to become a stronger defensive rebounder, and sure, yes, maybe that creates some opportunities for him in transition, there's another issue, which is that the defense that Jim Boylan insisted on playing all fucking season long. Oh, look at our defensive metrics. Hey, we're a top 10 ranked defensive team. Okay, well, you're losing every night, and you have those defensive rating numbers that you're trying to stand on by gimmicky stuff on how those metrics are made. Because, yeah, you generate a lot of steals, and then you don't even convert in transition anyway because your fast break offense fucking falls flat on its face. And then when you don't get the steals, your gimmicky, over-aggressive, trap-style defense is getting picked apart, and you're drawing your bigs away from the rebounding that happens where? By the basket. How are you going to ask Lauri Markkanen to really step up his defensive rebounding game and then also ask him to play this stupid trap defense where he's bringing his bigs away from the basket instead of playing drop coverage? It doesn't make any fucking sense. And yeah, if I were Lowry, I'd be frustrated about that too.
You know, it's like the thing, like, I get that it was a success in February. And as I say that, it sounds like this.
Success.
It reminds me of Jim Boylan seeing the success that they had in February and all of a sudden getting it wrapped into his mind that Lowry was going to be that guy completely for the rest of time. And I don't know, man. The idea that nobody said anything to Jim Boylan either about not getting Markkanen touches, and I get the way that Jim Boylan wanted to play was working for some players, maybe for Zach LaVine, but I mean, Zach LaVine even needed help at times. I mean, the dude was killing himself out there, so yeah, there's absolutely no reason why Lauri Markkanen should be taking half the touches he was a season previous to this. And if your young star player is having concerns about that, not really willing to speak up in the media until now, I mean, there's got to be some changes. And it's not just Lowry either. It's not just him. There's been other players on this team that are going to have important impacts in the future that have had issues with Jim Boylan, just the style that they run, the play calling, and everything else that goes into it too. So I'm not necessarily surprised. And I'm not surprised that he likes living here in the city of Chicago. I mean, Finland is cold, what, 70% of the year? His snow is 60% of the year. So I always saw articles when he talked about the city. He was like, yes, like a lot of players don't like living in the cold, and you know, it reminds me a lot of home, so I love it here in the city. So that is good to hear. It's good to hear that he still loves the fan base here, and doesn't seem like he's ready to push himself out. So that's good news.
Yes. I mean, I think right now Bulls fans can be hopeful about two things. Lowry being a lot happier once Jim Boylan gets the boot and AK and Eversley put a coach and a staff into place that can try to highlight him a little bit more on the offensive end. And that, in by doing so, happy thing number two, Lowry shows the third year jump that we were all hoping to see this year in year four. And that he does prove himself to be the guy that we all thought had all this amazing potential to his game, being an all-star caliber player. And then that leads the Bulls to very happily sign him to an extension a year from now. But I would say, based on all these factors, I would be shocked to see Lowry and the Bulls come to any kind of, you know, because he is eligible for an extension this summer. But based on the season he just had and all the other goings on with this organization right now, I would not expect that to happen. In the meantime, Bulls fans can, you know, take some level of solace in knowing Lowry is waiting and willing to stick it out, knowing that these changes happened. The Bulls told him earlier this season, like, take it easy. Don't get, you know, too upset. Don't panic. We're going to change some things around, and hopefully things will get better for you. So I'm glad to know that Lowry's trying to look at this optimistically, because I am still clinging on to the hope that this new regime can fix the broken Lauri Markkanen.
There's a lot of banging going on.
We'll get into more tomorrow and maybe in the rest of the week, too. And there's also some interesting comments from other Bulls writers out there, too, that we want to get into later this week. We'll also hit up to mailbag, Locked On Bulls mailbag this week with your voicemails and your text messages. 331-979-1369, the place to hit us up. 331-979-1369 or on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. That's going to about do it here for us, though. Again, thank you to Built Bar and Blinkist for sponsoring today's episodes. $10 off using the promo code LOCKEDON at BULTBAR.com. And a 7-day free trial and 25% off your subscription at Blinkist.com/NBA. BLINKIST.com/NBA. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
What are you doing, bro?
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com